I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. San Diego Ballet is set to open its 2024-25 season with a new modern ballet fusion of Stravinsky's Firebird, teaming classical dancers with hip-hop artists, along with Mambo Mania, one of the company's thrilling signature pieces set to the propulsive beat of Latin jazz great Perez Prado. This show runs Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th at the Joan B. Kroc Theater in East San Diego's Rolando neighborhood. And here to preview San Diego Ballet's innovative Firebird, Mambo Mania, and their full 2024-25 season is longtime San Diego Ballet Artistic Director Javier Velasco. Javier, it's great to have you back on Inside Art.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Javier, this is one of the classics of the ballet canon, Firebird, and are you turning it upside down or something?
Well, yes and no. I mean, people have done, they're taking their own variations on this, you know, fairly famously, different choreographers have. And I just one small correction. It isn't brand new. It's a remount of a production we did a few years back. So it is something that the ballet company is kind of known for. Our ballet company is known for this particular production of Firebird, in that we have hip hop dancers on stage with the ballet dancers, sort of like a beautiful mosaic intermingling with each other.
Are these hip hop dancers outside of your normal company?
Yes. A lot of times when you see sort of fusion ballets, you know, you'll see ballet dancers doing ballet technique, but then they're also doing some other type of dance. And, you know, it's very interesting to watch. But with me, when I was choreographing this, it was important to me that I wanted people doing what they felt best doing. And also, it's a story ballet, so there are different characters. So there's a character of an enchanter, this sort of bad guy who has these captive princesses, and he has minions, and they dance in a very particular way. They have to be very heavy and grounded and, you know, mysterious and evil and whatever. Anyway, but as I was listening to the music, I thought, you know, it'd be kind of great to have hip-hop dancers doing this and doing it with hip-hop technique because it matches Stravinsky's music really well. So that was the kind of kernel for why I came up with that. And San Diego Ballet works with lots of different organizations in the community. And I was really, every year when we do this ballet, I try to go out and find different hip-hop groups in the community. And this year we're doing it, the hip-hop dancers will be from the School for Creative and Performing Arts. They have the one in Chula Vista, they have a group that's specifically dedicated to hip-hop that's called M-Pulse that will be performing those roles.
Well, not to be a chauvinist here, but isn't that a great exposure for them to interact on stage with a classically trained company?
It is a great exposure for them, and it's a great opportunity. But it's really interesting because the first year we did this, the hip-hop organization that we worked with was Culture Shock San Diego. And it was really great because each group, they do what they do. And then when we brought them together, there was a little, I would say a little tension maybe, because, you know, we were afraid of how, not afraid, we were...
Hesitant?
Hesitant. Well, I don't even know if it's hesitant, but you have two totally different groups of dancers from different communities coming together, and you don't really know what's going to happen when you put them in the room. And it was really interesting because the woman who was playing the Firebird, the dancer who was playing the Firebird, she has this really difficult solo. And for whatever reason, she was doing a particular step. She was doing it like a pirouette, some kind of turn, and she slipped and she fell. And when she slipped and she fell, she rolled on the ground and stood right back up again. And all of the break dancers started applauding her because, you know, they felt a kinship there. It was like, oh, look, it's just like breakdancing, you know? And so they started snapping their fingers and applauding her. And it was like, and the tension was broken right away. So it was, so whenever we do this, it's always great because the dancers actually really respect what the other dancers are doing and they enjoy being on stage with them.
Well, take us through the story a little bit of the traditional Firebird.
Well, the story of the traditional Firebird is it's a fairy tale. It's a Russian folk tale. And a prince is sort of striding through an enchanted forest. He's hunting, right? And he's doing whatever princes do when they go in enchanted forests. And he runs into a magical bird of fire. And he captures her. And then before her release, you know, the terms of her release, are that she hands him a feather and she says, if you ever need me to come and help you once, just wave this feather in the air and I'll come and help you. So he takes the feather and then he travels a little more in the forest and he runs into a bunch of enchanted princesses, beautiful princesses, who have been captured by this malevolent figure. And he ends up falling in love with one of them, as princes do with princesses in fairy tales. He falls in love with them, one of them instantly, and he tries to help them escape. And so he comes into conflict with the evil enchanter, and just when it looks like everything's lost, he takes out the feather, waves it in the air, and the Firebird comes back into the picture to help him out in his battle against the evil guy. And of course, good triumphs over evil, and there's a wedding on stage at the end. And so, you know, the thing that's most striking about Firebird, I guess, would be the Stravinsky score. It's an early Stravinsky score, so it's very lush, and it's all of the orchestrations and all of the tonalities are just really expansive and lush and rhythmically dynamic. The piece is extremely dynamic in the way that, you know, it's pulsing forward and forward and forward and forward. So that's pretty great there, you know, and it's just a great score. So that's why lots of people like to come up with their own versions of it, because they have this wonderful thing to work with.
Well, musically speaking, you have quite a nice contrast in your second element of the program, which is Mambo Mania.
Well, yes and no. But, there are blaring trumpets in both of the pieces. But Mambo Mania is a piece that's like a piece from my childhood. My parents used to have parties at home when I was growing up, and that was the music they listened to. And my brother and I were in charge of the record player at the age of, you know, 6 and 7, and would have to put, and those are my dad's records. And I so remember the album covers of all of those great things, you know, and, you know, they were more than Technicolor and these, you know, twisting women and exotic flowers and saxophones and on the record cover. And then the music itself was so energetic and joyous, and it had this sort of life inside of it that many years ago, this was one of the first pieces that I choreographed for the ballet company, and it's one of our signature pieces. We bring it back, you know, maybe every 3 or 4 years it comes back, and the dancers just love dancing to it. Actually, they love dancing to the music because it is so out there and in your face, you know. It truly is, and it's in your face in a good way. I mean, it's not, these are not subtle saxophones, these are not subtle trumpets, you know. The musicians are like yelling as in the pieces, you know, people's names and things. So yeah, so it's just a lot of fun to dance to, and one of the things that I like so much about it is that it allows the dancers not just to be themselves, but to have fun with the audience in as mature versions of themselves. A lot of times when I see ballets, you look at the dancers and you think, oh, they're 18, 19 years old, but when they're actually not, you know, ballet dancers just tend to look young. But this actually, this ballet actually allows the dancers to have a very active, mature relationship with the audience and with each other when they're dancing it, and just have a lot of fun.
Wasn't Mambo quite a craze in the culture in the 50s, 60s?
It was, yeah, it was actually. It even seeped into musical theater. There's a huge dance at the gym in West Side Story where they do a fairly famous Mambo, you know, and the people, you know, say Mambo, Mambo, go. It was a huge thing. And, you know, it's an interesting dance form in that in the Mambo, you're stressing the second count of the phrase. So normally you'd be going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. But with Mambo, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you stress that. So it's sort of upends everything. You know, anything can happen in a Mambo. Actually,
I love that outlook.
And often does. Yeah.
Again, Mambo Mania will be paired with Firebird, the feature performance on Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th. On Saturday, it's going to be a matinee only at 12 p.m. at 2 p.m. rather, at the Joan B. Kroc Theater.
Yeah. During our season, you know, our seasons tend to be created to be a journey or a pathway, you know, so as you go through the thing. And we have specific shows that are, you know, we'll have a Valentine's show for, you know, people to come with their significant other. This kind of falls into our, even though it has this kind of like adult, exciting kind of like big dancing, it's actually one of our family-friendly shows. So because it is one of our family-friendly shows, not that the others aren't families, but this one is specifically, you know, like something to bring your kids to. Because of that, we did feel that we needed to put a matinee into the series. So that's why there's a matinee on Saturday.
All right. We're looking forward to that season opening concert there. Then you're going to run the Nutcracker at the Magnolia for two shows on December 21st.
Yes. So we, you know, as the San Diego Ballet, we make an effort to work in all parts of San Diego, to work throughout the county so that we can bring the ballet all over. And so, yeah, we're doing our Nutcracker at the Magnolia. This will be the 35th year. It's our 35th anniversary, our 35th year of the Nutcracker. And, you know, it's just a great season and a great time for us because the Nutcracker is, it's a very special ballet for ballet companies and ballet dancers, because a lot of times it's the first time that you will have very young dancers on stage, not just performing for their parents and people who love them, but performing in what is a professional show. A lot of times people will think, oh, you know, it's a kid's show, and it actually isn't. It's a professional show like the other shows, but there are children's roles in the Nutcracker, and they are played in our production. They are played by children. Just like in when you go see The Grinch Who Stole Christmas at the Globe, there are children in that who play children. It's the same with our Nutcracker. There are children's roles, and they're played by little kids.
We're with San Diego Ballet Artistic Director Javier Velasco, who's previewing his entire company's 2024-25 season, which continues in 2025 with Ritmos Latinos, Carnival of the Animals, and Tangata on February 15th.
Yeah, I'm very happy about this show. You know, Carnival of the Animals, we had done a production of Carnival of the Animals to like world music and the original score by Saint-Saëns years ago. And it was popular with the audience, but I was never 100% happy with it, just because the music was such a pastiche. And the ballet itself, you know, when you're going from a lion to a snake to whatever, there's a pastiche quality about that, and it kind of worked. But I didn't want to leave it alone there. I wanted to sort of, you know, revisit it and see if we could maybe do something a little more unique with it. So we've done a lot of collaborations with Gilbert Castellanos, who's very well known in San Diego for the work that he does with younger jazz musicians, and his own work as well. And he's done a lot of ballets for us. And normally I'll say, hey, Gilbert, you know, let's do something. He'll ask me what he wants to do. I say, no, you go away, come back to me with a piece of music, and then I'll work to that. But with Carnival of the Animals, because where I was coming from with this, it was an existing piece that I wanted a new score to, but the ballet itself existed, and I liked what I'd done choreographically with the ballet before. I said, no, Gilbert, this one's going to be a little different. The ballet already exists. The dances already exist. They're already this long. What I want you to do is want you to write me pieces that are the same length, the same tempo, the same whatever as the existing piece. But I want you to write a new composition that is going to fit into that mold. So it was like the reverse of what we normally do. And it was kind of a fun exercise for him.
Oh, bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like where in the past it was like, do anything and I'll just choreograph to it. It's like, no. This already exists. You know, do something that's of a whole. So where in the past the ballet was made up of world music and the original Saint-Saëns composition, now the ballet has a Latin jazz score. So now the ballet is completely a Latin jazz ballet sound that's going to be played with the live combo. Gilbert will be playing that night, and it'll be being played with a live jazz group on stage doing the music for us. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, as are we, yes.
Yeah, and that's, it'll be a great show. And the other piece on that show is a piece called Tangata, which is to some Astor Piazzolla tangos, which is a ballet that I'm actually fond of as well.
That'll be on February 15th at the Conrad in La Jolla. And then your final show of the season on the 17th of May is Romeo and Juliet, or Romeo et Juliet.
Yes, yes. I had something to make it a little slightly different than Romeo and Juliet. But this is a story ballet. It's Romeo and Juliet, as people know Romeo and Juliet, the famous star-crossed lovers. It stresses the young lovers a little more than some productions of Romeo and Juliet will. A lot of times when you see Romeo and Juliet, that thing that's sort of stressed is this sort of big, ponderous society that's sort of coming down on them. You know, lots of sword fighting, lots of Verona street scenes and that kind of thing. My Romeo and Juliet is a little more of a poem about young love. And so it's much more intimate. And it's a great time to come and wallow in that whole first love, young love ideal.
Does Romeo and Juliet feature any dancers in particular that you like to showcase?
Yes, Romeo and Juliet features Stephanie Majorano and Tonatio Gomez, who are actually a married couple. A lot of times people will come to ballets and they'll see two dancers dancing on stage and they go, oh, isn't that wonderful? I'm sure they love each other and I'm sure they're married. And sometimes the dancers don't really like each other that much. Or, you know, sometimes they have collegial relationships with each other. But in this particular instance, my Romeo and Juliet are married and they're deeply in love. And it's great. And the audience eats that up because they're like, oh, that's wonderful. You know, and they're wonderful dancers and they do a great job with it. And yeah, people enjoy seeing them in the roles.
Looking forward to that production of Romeo et Juliet on May 17th at the Balboa Theater downtown. And we're looking forward to all of the season offerings from San Diego Ballet. We've been talking about that with the company's artistic director for many years, Javier Velasco. Javier, thanks for joining us to talk about San Diego Ballet's season on Inside Art.
Thank you so much for having me.
San Diego Ballet opens its 2024-25 season with Firebird and Mambo Mania Friday, October 11th at 7 p.m. and Saturday the 12th at 2 p.m. in the Joan B. Kroc Theater at 6611 University Avenue in East San Diego's Rolando neighborhood. You can purchase tickets for this show and the entire San Diego Ballet season at sandiegoballet.org. Inside Art is made possible with support from the members of Jazz 88.3. Replays and extended versions of every Inside Art broadcast are available online at jazz88.org/Inside Art. Again, my thanks to Javier Velasco and Gordon Greenberg. For Jazz 88.3, I'm Dave Drexler. Join me again on air and online for another edition of Inside Art. Breaking Jazz is next.